everybody. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live at 97.1 FM Talk. Before we introduce Dr. Reif, he's with us every Monday for a couple hours. As a matter of fact, let's involve you with this conversation because this is might be a little crazy. Gina Grad is with us as well. And Dr. Reif is a psychiatrist, and he deals with people's problems in sex, drugs, and relationships. Nice to see you, man.
Good to be here, man. How are you?
Yeah, and you're an addiction medicine specialist.
Yes, I have good job security in my life.
Look at you. You'll be working forever. All right, Randy Wang told me a story. And Randy, please tell it the way you told it to me. And we're going to have a discussion about it with a psychiatrist to see if there is a potential underlying problem with what you did on Thanksgiving.
It's not that big a deal, is it?
What?
It's not that big a deal, is it?
It seems like it could be.
I thought it was a smart idea. Well, Thanksgiving was... I mean, my vacation was awesome. I was pretty stoned most of the week. But Thanksgiving was kind of a pain in the ass because we had to go up to my grandparents' house up in Coldwater Canyon. And they told us, don't eat the whole day. Don't eat the whole day. Prepare for a great feast. And so my parents picked me up about 5 o'clock. I haven't eaten all day. And we're driving
Now, when you say you didn't eat all day, you stopped at 4?
Yeah.
Right.
Well, okay. I stopped at noon. That's all day. See, I ate in the morning. I just ate during the day.
All right. Very good.
But
it's really great how you guys know each other so well.
Well, you just got to look at me.
Yeah.
Well,
it's hard to hide your wildly out of control eating habits.
So the first thing we do is we drive up to Coldwater in Ventura, and we realize it's 5:20. We're not supposed to be there till 5:30, so we have to wait 10 minutes. So I say, let's pull into the Ralph's, and I buy a 12-pack of Heineken.
Right.
Because I know my grandparents, who are total yuppies, total Beverly Hills yuppies, that they will not serve anything besides red wine at these Thanksgiving dinners, and I hate wine.
Right, right.
So I buy a 12-pack just for myself. We go up there. I get completely hammered on my own beer. I'm kind of an a-hole to everybody, but, I mean, it's Thanksgiving at my grandparents' house. It's a pain in the ass. They serve the food.
Perfect opportunity to be an a-hole to everybody.
Yes. We get there at 5:30, and they don't serve the food for an hour. There's 20 people just standing there talking, chit-chatting. So I decided to pound 12 beers in an hour.
So you had 12 beers on an empty stomach.
Yes, and I was very hammered, but it was a nice buzz. Heineken Premium Light gives you a great buzz.
Thank you. Now, did you bring any weed with you?
No, because my grandparents asked, my mom would freak out. Even though my uncle was there, too, the uncle that smokes weed with me.
Okay.
Hey, Randy, Dr. Reif here. I just got to jump in here.
We're not even to the problem yet.
We haven't even gotten to the surface.
I couldn't help myself. So you're binge drinking before you get to your grandparents' house for Thanksgiving, right?
Well, just so I can avoid talking to people.
Hey, listen, let's not judge him yet.
Oh, we're not there yet, Reif.
I just want a quick clarification,
though. This is early in the first act.
So I'm drunk. It's 6:30 now. They start to serve the food, and there's, you know, big line. There's a tray of kugel because they're pretend Jewish. There's a tray of stuffing, and there's a big pile of turkey. And I'm the last person to get to the turkey. And this is how well my family knows my grandparents. When I get to the pile of turkey, there's no dark meat gone because they make the driest turkey in the world. So everyone hits the dark meat. So I got a couple of pieces of meat, a couple of spoonfuls of kugel. And 15 minutes after we start eating, they take my plate away. They take everybody's plate away after 15 minutes. I've been waiting all day to eat because they want to serve dessert. Because, you know, these are Beverly Hills people. They got to be organized. They got to be on a schedule. And so I'm drunk. I've had 3 pieces of turkey, 2 spoonfuls of kugel. And I'm not ready for dessert because all they have is berries and yogurt.
And right. Macaroons, right? Because they're fake Jews.
Yes.
Okay.
And macaroons. And when I say fake Jews, I mean fake Jews as in my step-grandmother is a Norwegian woman who converted Judaism because it was in style at the time.
All right, let's cut interesting.
Have we hit the problem yet?
No.
Not even close.
Still checking.
Yeah. So after we realize they're not going to feed us anymore, everybody, all 20 guests skate. We all get out of there. And my parents drop me off at my house down the hill. And I beg them the entire ride home, can we go to Jack in the Box? Can we go to Jack in the Box? Can we go to Jack in the Box? I'm so goddamn hungry, and I can't walk there. I'm too bummed to drive. Please, can we go to Jack in the Box?
And you can't walk into Jack in the Box after about 9, 10 o'clock at night?
No, you can walk there the entire night, but I was so drunk that I would have got pulled over for public drunkenness.
Okay, all right.
But I'm begging, and the problem was my brother was driving, so he wouldn't go to Jack.
Okay, so you physically couldn't walk a block to Jack in the Box.
No, I was hammered.
All right. Again, Dr. Reif, not to the problem yet.
Yeah, you know, I'm just waiting patiently.
So
I got time.
I finally get home. I decide maybe if I smoke a little weed, that'll put me off. So I smoke one of my new cone-shaped pre-roll
blunts. Still not to the problem yet.
And I smoked about half of it, and I realized, wait, now I'm really hungry. And then all of a sudden my phone rings, and my dad calls me. He says, please don't drive. Please don't drive to Jack's. I know you're hungry. Call a delivery place. Someone will deliver to you.
So on Thanksgiving.
Yeah. So I call every delivery place. No one's delivering, obviously, because it's Thanksgiving.
Shocker.
And I'm so desperate because I'm starving. I mean, I've got a big stomach, but if I haven't eaten all day and all I have is three pieces of turkey plus all that booze and all that weed, I'm starving. So I couldn't think of what to do because I can't leave the house. I can't get delivery. So I whipped out my cell phone and I called City Cab, which is a cab company in the Valley.
We put that together.
And they came out to my house and the guy said, where to?
Right.
And I said, you know that Jack in the Box right around the corner? And he's like, well, we don't really do that. So I'm like, well, I gave him the story. You know, I'm really hungry. I just want to get some Jack in the Box. Can you take me through the drive through? He's like, well, I don't really feel comfortable. I was like, hey, dude, if you do this for me, I will buy you anything on the menu.
Wow.
And that got him.
Is that what he said? Sold. And put his hand up for a high five.
Yeah. We will do it. Okay.
After that, he was into it.
Thank you very much. Yeah, thank you. Like that, Dr. Ruth?
Yeah, that's pretty good, Tim.
So we drive to the Jack's, which is 10 cars deep in length. And I'm, dude, I'll pay you for your time. Let's just sit
here. Of course
here.
You do. I mean, he's got the meter rolling.
Yeah. Right. So, yeah, the Catsy ride at the end of the day cost me like $30 to go. And you know where my...
Plus a number 7.
Now, see, this is perfect. This should be on his tombstone, where it's him in the back of a cab ordering from a clown.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
Good.
He had to pull up, so I'm the back seat, and I can order, and I ordered about $15 worth of food.
Now, did he pull up where you were equal to the speaker? Or
yeah,
he pulled up
so I'm next
you?
To the window.
Oh, okay, all right. So he knows the drill.
I pulled down my back window, and I gave him the, hey, what do you want, dude?
And when you pulled up to the window to pay for it and get your food, did he hand you your food, or did he pull you up to the window?
No, he pulled me up to the window.
Jesus Christ.
Wow. It was great.
What did the drive-thru guy think of this?
You know,
what's this dude doing?
The drive-thru guy, because I go to this Jack's all the time because it's, you know, it's so close to my house that some of the guys know me, and the guy that came up to me was one of the guys that always says, hey, dude, what's up? And he gave me the, hey, dude, what's up? And I'm like, I'm in a cab, and I need food.
Wow.
Randy, how old are you, Randy?
I'm 23.
So Dr. Reef, with everything else you're working on right now, factor in rampant depression.
Yeah, so we have a 23-year-old white male with marijuana dependence, stoned on a regular basis, binge drinks before every family occasion, regresses into his childhood where he can't drive.
It's like you've known me my whole life.
Has no cognitive skills and begs a cab driver to take him to Jack in the Box.
Pretty much.
I think you summed his Thanksgiving up.
Dude, yeah. Those tacos were the best I've ever had in my entire life.
Now, Dr. Reef, of all of those different issues you've brought up, what is the most severe one, or what is the one you think he could probably or should tackle first?
Oh, wow.
The binge drinking before?
I think the two interesting ones to me are, I think he binge drank for a bigger reason. But the two, obviously, the guy's stoned all the time, right? So that's one issue.
Okay.
And I think the combination of being stoned and doing that 12-pack of Heineken before he goes to his parents is a bigger deal. I think the bigger deal is he regresses into his childhood. He regresses when he gets around his family.
But do you think he's trying to recreate the childhood he never had because he was so straight-laced when he was a kid?
Either
now he's like, watch this, Mom. Check this out, Dad.
He's either recreating the childhood or...
He's eating the childhood.
eating the childhood. He's paralyzed by his childhood and needs to be there. And that's how he's going to relate to people. He's like, dude, I got to be stoned out of my mind. I got to be drunk out of my mind to be able to deal. Oh. Because he can't deal... You know, there's a lot of people out there that can't deal with their parents, that can't deal with Thanksgiving, with family occasions. So, you know, a lot of my patients, a lot of my friends get hammered during Thanksgiving because they just can't deal with their family, right?
Yeah, but so, I also, and I hate to, I know you're the specialist here, you went to school for this, but I also think that on a certain level, I mean, I'm not talking about 12 beers and 6 joints to deal with grandma, but to have a couple of pops of wine, I think makes the evening go by for everybody because you don't bring up the real underlying severe issues that everybody has.
Well, here's the thing. There's a big difference between being so stoned and so drunk, you can't get in your car, you're completely independent of everyone else in the area.
I'll give you that.
You can't walk straight. You're about to pee on yourself and you can't move. You know, I mean, there's
a big difference between that and just having a couple of beers so you don't have to listen to grandma and you can tune around.
All right. Now, what about actually getting in a cab and going to get food? Is that another issue?
Now, I think that's an interesting one because, you know, the alcohol gives you a lot of caloric, you know, caloric intake.
Right.
So technically...
Well, these were
really,
light beers.
Yeah, it was, there you go. Yeah.
Well, remember, he did the right thing by not driving.
No,
he did the responsible thing.
That was nice. There's a battle inside him for, you know,
space.
I don't know. you've got the marijuana hunger pains, right? You got the pot pains. And then you've got the caloric intake from the alcohol. So I think it really depends on who's winning out between that battle as to whether he needs to make an emergency run to Jack in the Box in a cab.
I see. Okay. So when he eats like that, is that sort of like a treating himself and a celebration that he got through the night with the family?
Yeah, I view that almost in his case as like a reward.
Right.
It's almost like, okay, I was stoned, I was hammered, I got through it. Cool, can't drive, but I'm going to Jack in the Box. You know,
you know, here's the worst part. None of you have touched on yet. You want to know what I ordered?
Yeah.
No, here we go.
All right, I ordered 4 tacos, 2 nacho cheeseburgers, 2 nacho chicken sandwiches. Then I got a Jumbo Jack and 2 tacos for the driver. And then I got 2 cheesecakes.
Wow, is that right?
That was an amazing
meal.
How
are you still here?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, his vices just stack on top of each other, right? I mean,
and if they ever went to, if he went to Cedars to have his stomach pumped, they'd have to have like 3 or 4 pumps going.
Well, he's a good case study. He definitely is. Guys like me, like, we like to research
Mr.
people.
Mr. R.
It's good. Yeah, Mr. R.
That's a great story, dude, and I'm glad you have the balls to tell it on the air.
But you don't think that's a smart idea to call a cab to take you to the drive-through?
Well, I think it's a smart idea to draw, you know, to take a cab.
Because I wasn't depressed the whole way. The entire time I was there, when I was driving, I was thinking, this is the greatest idea ever. I'm going to do this every time I get bumped.
Yeah. Well, okay, well, knock yourself out. I mean, it gets expensive, though, you know?
Yeah, I was just going to say that.
But it was worth it.
$30 for the cab, the food, the
beer.
You
don't know how hungry I was. It was worth it.
That may have been a $100 night for you.
Let's see. Well, the Jack's only $20.
$20, the cab, you had to juice him, $50.
And then $20 for the beer. Yeah, almost.
Yeah, a little joint. You know, that was, threw some money at that.
The H joint's probably about $15, so.
Yeah.
But numbing the internal pain, priceless.
Nice. Yeah, what happened? I think you're right. I think you got to get into his childhood and see what happened.
You got to roll with that. One of these days, we got to get into that.
Did mom ever punch you in the face?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
I get the feeling he's had like things taken from him after 10 or 15 minutes on a regular basis.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Randy?
All right. That's
it's like you know me my whole life, dude.
That's
dude,
a great story.
I'm mind melting with
it. I hate to pile on right now, but Randy, shut off your mic. All right. That's a great story, man. All right. Dr. Reef is with us. And again, he specializes in, he's a psychiatrist, but sex, drugs, and relationships. And if you have a question for him or you need some advice, we're going to do this right after the news. 520-9710. And 888-520-9710. But for right now, folks, every single night, a little after 9 o'clock, it happens to be about 16 minutes after 9. This time, it's the news with Gina Grad, everyone.
Now, from the 97.1 newsroom. Here's Gina Grad with the news.
Gino, man.
Man, I missed you, Timmy.
What's going on with that news?
Well, President-elect Barack Obama announced his national security team yesterday, which included naming Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton as the new Secretary of State.
Excellent.
Yeah. Right. The new high-powered national security team, which was announced at a Chicago press conference, faces the challenge of managing 2 wars, along with various ongoing foreign policy crises. But Obama seems very excited and very confident in his decision. And here is some audio about this appointment.
All right, here we go. Hillary Clinton, Secretary of State. Look at that.
I have known Hillary Clinton as a friend, a colleague, a source of counsel, and a tough campaign opponent. She possesses an extraordinary intelligence and a remarkable work ethic. I am proud that she will be our next Secretary of State. She is an American of tremendous stature who will have my complete confidence, who knows many of the world's leaders, who will command respect in every capital, and who will clearly have the ability to advance our interests around the world.
All right.
Yeah.
According to Barack, there you go. But I like at the end here where he was talking about how she's respected.
Who will command respect in every capital.
Still some capitals out there don't like women in those positions.
Right.
Yeah, like about 80% of them.
Yeah, but there are a lot of places that have women leaders.
Yeah, name three.
Yeah.
I mean, there are women presidents, but when it comes
to... Figureheads. Figureheads, let's say.
Yeah, that's true. But when it comes to... And Dr. Reif knows this. You're a man of the world. You've traveled around. You've been to the Middle East. You've been to India. Have you been to Pakistan?
I have not been to Pakistan.
All right, but you've been to India.
I've been all over India.
And when they see a chick coming in or a guy coming in, is it still a guy's club?
Yeah, it's a guy's. I mean, Pakistan, they had a female leader, right?
She got killed.
Yeah, she got killed, unfortunately.
Benazir Bhutto, right?
Yeah.
Right.
But I mean, there's some countries. Yeah, it's getting better. I think the roles are getting closer, but yeah. It's still there's still quite a man's world factor going on over there. The most bizarre thing for me in India is I went there for New Year's a couple of years ago, and I'm thinking, you know, my brother and I are going, and we're thinking, hey, we'll get to some great parties. Actually, there was a really big party at the Taj Hotel that was
bombed. Oh, is that right? Wow.
Yeah. And so we're thinking, all right, we'll go out. You know, like New Year's here. Everyone goes outside. There's street parties, block parties. You have a great time. We go to the biggest district of, like, a street party out there, and there's no women.
Oh, my
it's
God.
It's all guys holding hands.
Oh.
And we're like, what the heck is this? And it was guys, because it's guys. Guys go out. The women are either at private parties or they're hanging out at home.
Oh,
it was
Jesus.
The most bizarre thing. So it was a bunch of guys, literally. They were gay, but they were just holding hands and being celebratory. And it was
fantastic.
It's too weird.
Randy, please, the Taj Hotel. Stop asking me the name of the hotel. He wants to know if that party's happening this New Year's.
Well, I can go down there. I've got 2 weeks vacation time.
He loves parties, but no chicks. All right, what else is going on with the news there, Gina?
Well, meanwhile, New York Senator Hillary Clinton accepted the job with enthusiasm. And here we have a snippet from her acceptance
speech. All right, Hill Dog, everybody.
And so I believe the best way to continue serving my country is to join President-elect Obama, Vice President-elect Biden, the leaders here, and the dedicated public servants of the State Department on behalf of our nation at this defining moment. President Kennedy once said that engaging the world to meet the threats we face was the greatest adventure of our century.
Barely here.
Mr. President-elect, I am proud to join you.
What music is that?
It's the Hillary Clinton national anthem.
Oh. It sounds like the old Soviet national anthem.
Yeah, they reused it.
Oh, I do.
It's a good song.
Does anyone have a Kleenex?
All right, Hill Dog, man. There she goes. All right, what else going on in the news there, Gina?
Well, New York Giants receiver Plaxico Burress is to be questioned by police after accidentally shooting himself in the thigh with an unlicensed gun at a dance club 2 days ago.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, this occurred hours after he was deemed unfit to play in Sunday's game at Washington, D.C. Because of a hamstring strain in the same leg. Burress's lawyer, Benjamin Braffman, stated today that Plaxico is not running away from this, and he intends to deal with this responsibly, but he does hope that it works out in the end.
Oh, boy.
The penalty for carrying an unlicensed gun in New York State can be anywhere from 3.5 to 15 years in prison. And in this clip, fellow football player Eli Manning comments on Plaxico's situation and how the team has handled it.
All right, here we go, man.
The only thing that the players were concerned about was Plaxico's health, and the coach said it wasn't life-threatening, but obviously anytime you hear about a gunshot wound, you're concerned about it. You know, from the game plan wise and what we had to do on the field, we didn't let it bother us. Obviously, he wasn't going to be able to play in this game anyway because of the hamstring. So we were focused on what we had to do.
All right, there they go. It's too bad because this guy was only guaranteed. He signed a $28 or $25 million contract.
I read 53.
Oh, yeah, but I mean, per year.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so his deal this year is worth $25 million. He was only given, I think, $1.5 million or $2 million. And then it was all in bonuses. Mm. And, it was like a step deal where he had to meet certain criteria throughout the deal. So this carrying a gun could potentially cost him, just this year alone, $23 million.
Yeah. Not
$23
million. But not to mention, he also had a couple fines this year. $178,600 for missing a team meeting and $68,000 for conduct at a San Francisco game.
Man, oh man. Yeah. You know, with a guy who has that kind of money, he can hire somebody as a bodyguard. That guy carries the gun.
Yeah, why is he carrying a gun on a dance floor?
Well, he's got a lot of guys, I think, that are after him. You know, he came from a crazy area, a lot of, you know, gangs and crap like that. And I think he feels like dudes are after him, you know.
Imagine how, like, you go to a club, you just want to hang out, you want to have a good time, you got to carry a gun with you on the dance floor.
Yeah, I think that's a lot of people carry guns, though. I don't think this is an isolated case. You know, those two guys down in Palm Desert. Shot each other to death. All right, we got to take a quick break. We'll come back with more news. And we can keep going. Here we go.
Sweet.
Yeah, Randy said, let's go.
Well, pop star Britney Spears is back in the news this week.
Bitch.
Yeah. As her tell-all documentary called For the Record aired on MTV last night. In this special, which coincided with the release of her new album entitled Circus, Spears talked about motherhood, her desire to remarry, and why she shaved her head so many months ago. Now, it has been reported that the reason for the hasty hairdo stemmed from the fact that she was about to be drug tested through a hair strand test. But Britney assured fans in her special this was not the reason for the stunt, and we have some audio from this.
Right. Here we go. Britney Spears is back in our lives.
Like, I was going through so much artificial stuff with my kids and with Kevin and all that stuff at the time, and he just left me. And I was devastated, you know, and people thought that it was me, like, going crazy and stuff like that, but people shave their heads all the time, you know, but I mean, I was going through a lot, but it was just kind of like me just feeling a form of a little bit of rebellion or feeling free or, you know, shedding stuff that had happened, you know.
Mm. Now, who does she think is buying this?
Yeah. People don't shave their heads all the time.
I don't know any chick who's ever shaved their head. But Dr. Reef.
Sinead O'Connor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, maybe that's
a chick.
Yeah, but I think she always shaved her head.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
There you go.
But what do you think this Britney Spears, she's just BSing everybody, right?
Yeah, it's so hard to know because the concept of I'm trying to shed my past because I'm tired of all that stuff that's going on. And I'm trying. Don't forget this. She very much has this image as this, would like it or not, this kind of hot girl, adolescent, post-adolescent kind of thing. The one thing you could do to end that image immediately, like right away, is to shave your locks, to shave your hair. That's a guaranteed way that you have just shed your image as this girl post-adolescent thing. Now, there are other factors here. You know, some people were saying she has bipolar disorder and you can get manic and you can act out and you can do all sorts of stuff and that could be a part of it. And then, you know, there's just the simple fact of rebellion and acting out. She could be doing that. I mean, it's plausible that any of those could have happened.
But are there drug tests that are specifically from your hair?
Yeah.
So, I mean, because I remember when this happened, she went to some little, like, barber shop in the valley and grabbed the clippers out of one of the people's hands and just started shaving her head. Like, she was in a hurry.
I mean, drug tests most of the time will do urine toxicology screens. They have hair follicle samples.
How long does marijuana stay in your hair follicles?
Well, most of the time we're doing urine tests, and it's going to be 30 to 45 days. Hair follicles are, you know, we don't use them that much. So, you know,
somebody should have told her that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm shocked that would actually be plausible where they were going to say, you know what, we're going to skip the urine, we're going to skip the other testing, we're going straight to hair, this is how it is. And, I mean, that makes no sense to me.
Right. Huh. Yeah, it does seem odd. And it also seems like, you know, she's doing what a PR person would do and trying to, you know, there's an excuse for everything in her past. Instead of just saying, I was really effed up and, you know, I apologize to my kids, to everybody I hurt. I was really effed up. I hope you guys forgive me. Now it's all an excuse. You know, it's one excuse after another. You know, it's not taking any responsibility for, you know, what she did to everybody.
She's been through a lot, you know, and like it or not, she's easy to make remarks about.
I know, I can't stand that she's back in our lives. You know, I thought she was out of our lives for a while.
Dude, I don't think, Tim, I think it was just a brief vacation. She's back.
I mean, these people who are in our lives all the time, who's another one? Angelina Jolie.
Oh, your favorite.
She's in my life all the time. Yeah. Every time I turn around, there's, you know, there's another story about her. I got to read. No, I don't have to read, but You see her on the internet, you see her on TV, you hear her on the radio, you're on the internet, the news, and all that crap. She's back in our lives as Britney Spears.
Well, you know, she keeps adopting kids. What are you going to do?
I mean, I know more about Britney Spears, and I ignore 99% of it. You know, whatever Gina does, I listen to that. But I don't, when I see a story on the internet about Britney Spears, I never read it. When I see her on TV, I never pause and listen to it. And when I see a newspaper and there's a story or in a magazine, I never read the article. But yet, with all of that ignoring her, I know more about her than I do my Uncle Wally that lives up in Washington.
Uncle Wally from Washington.
Yeah.
Well, did you ever have a moment where you were like, wow, that girl's hot. I like that girl.
I don't think so. Not with
any
Britney
of the music
Spears.
Videos. None of it.
Nah, because I don't watch videos, and I'm not a big music fan. I listen to talk radio.
You never saw the video Toxic?
I don't think I did.
Hit
never
Me Baby one more time.
Hit Me Baby. Yeah. No, I didn't look at that either. I don't look at a lot of MTV or anything like that.
I think because most guys, I think, had their Britney Spears moment at one time.
Is that right?
She affected most guys I know at some point in time.
Why is Dr. Reef pointing at himself when he says most guys?
I have no idea.
Went through his whole Britney Spears moment. Yeah.
Toxic.
Yeah. At one point, you shaved your head. Was it a coincide with?
Yeah, it was an Indian thing. No
solidarity.
All right, what else going on with that news there, Gina?
Well, meanwhile, Britt is furious at her ex-husband, Kevin Federline, again. She just, you know, these two can't stop fighting.
Oh, boy.
This time, it's because she claims that K-Fed has been teaching her two young sons, Jaden and Sean, curse words.
Oh, man.
Yes, the pop singer said that the children have been obsessing over words like stupid and even throwing that F-bomb around.
Ooh.
And cannot stress enough that the kids did not learn this from her.
How old are the kids?
3 and 5.
Oh, they're fine.
Yeah. Spears maintains that though she tends to curse a lot, she does not do it around Jaden and Sean.
Okay.
So, you know, maybe you can take a lesson.
What do you think about, like, my daughter occasionally, the other day she said, we're walking in the park and she goes, hey, Dad, look, there's dog ass. And she used the whole, you know, term, right?
Jesus Christ.
And I think it's funny. I don't get down on her for using that term. I use it. My wife uses it. You know, that's what it is. It's dog ass, right? But she didn't say the F word. But I never judge people if their kids swear. I know a lot of people do. But I don't. I think, you know, I swear, my wife swears, people swear. I don't know anybody that doesn't. Yeah. And people that don't swear are people that say, oh my God, what language, I can't believe it. I'm never friends with them for more than 5 minutes.
It's too hard.
I don't involve them in my life. Yeah, because I don't want to censor myself around them.
Yeah.
I swear around my dad, my stepmother, my sisters, my brothers, my kids, everybody. I'm just, that's all I do all day long, is use that F word. And occasionally the kids pick it up. Like, for instance, I was at a pizza place. I may have told you this story. But I was at a pizza place about a month ago. And I had to go to the bathroom. So I take my daughter in with me to the bathroom. Because I don't want some lunatic grabbing her and taking off with her. You know. So I'm in there for 2 minutes. Just took a leak. Come back out. The table's completely spotless. They took her pizza, my pasta, my Coke, her lemonade, and everything, right? So I said, under my breath. I didn't even think she heard me, right? I said, those mother effers took everything, right? So the guy comes back. He's very apologetic. He wanted to pay for the meal. I didn't let him do it, but he wanted to pay for the meal. He was very sorry. And he brings everything back. About 5 minutes later, my daughter, who's only 3, says, Dad, I think those mother effers took my coloring book and my crayons.
Jesus Christ.
And I said, hey, baby, please. Don't use that around your mom. But I wish I had that on videotape. You know, that's the kind of guy I am. Not only do I not get down on her, but I wish I recorded that and had that forever. I think it was just such a great moment.
Can I tell my favorite Sophie story? Did she or did she not look straight at your wife and say, Mom, I'm going to knock your ass out?
She did do that.
Wow. Yeah. You gotta bring her in.
But now, is that a problem? Is that something I should, you know, watch out for or, control that or correct that?
Different parents have different styles, you know, and philosophies with this. For me, I just think that when a kid doesn't really know what they're saying or the meaning behind the word, I think it's innocent to them. Right? But it is a reflection on the parents, like it or not, for a lot of people in society, right?
Right.
If your kid's doing F-bombs at Toys R Us all over the place, you know, people are going to look at you funny, right? It's just the way it is, right? But the thing is, when the kid has meaning behind it and has already been desensitized for the word, suddenly they're 8. They know exactly what they're saying, and they've been saying it since they were 3.
That's a problem.
That's a problem.
Okay. All right. All right, so as long as she doesn't know the meaning of it, and again, she doesn't know the meaning of anything other than, you know, crap she sees on Dora. But as long as she doesn't know the meaning of dog ass, she just says it. She doesn't know what MF means. She just uses it because I use it, right?
Right.
But so I got to watch it when she gets older and she knows what it means, and then she keeps using it.
The problem is, you give her positive reinforcement. She uses the F-bomb, and you just start cracking up and cracking up. It's positive reinforcement. She's going to be like, you know, in her head, she's like, oh, that made Daddy laugh. I'm going to keep doing that.
Now I get cookies.
You know,
I got to watch it, man. I really do.
Before you know it, every other word, right?
Yeah, because I'm in the car, you know, when I'm driving around with her, and I'm talking to you know, a friend of mine, and, you know, swearing and using all kinds of crazy language, and she's sitting right back there. I got to watch that, I guess, huh?
Well, it'll be funny for now. Just wait till she's like, you know.
You know what's going to happen in this state?
Sailor mouth at the age of 11.
In this crazy, effed up state we live in, there's going to be a law against it one day. Like, you can't smoke with your kids in the car in California.
Swearing in front of a minor.
Yeah, you have to have a helmet on your kid.
Yeah.
There's going to be a law in this state, I guarantee, mark my words, in 5 years from now, you'll get a ticket for using the F word in front of kids.
Jesus,
it's going to happen. It's going to happen.
May I share one more Sophie story that I witnessed at the food drive?
Oh.
Tell me now if you don't want me to.
I don't know that one.
Okay. Well, a listener came up to you at the beginning, and I was with Sophie, you know, crouching down, looking at the balloon animals, and you were talking to him, and he was very nice. He said, oh, by the way, you know, one of my favorite things I think is hilarious is when your daughter says Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, that was it. He was going to walk away, and you were like, hold on, let me, and you pick her up. Let me see if we can get her to do it now.
Now, the guy says, he goes, I'll donate $50 worth of food if your daughter says Jesus Christ. I go, hey, Sophie, get over here. And picked her up.
Lay a JC on him.
Picked her up, and she laid
on Jesus Christ.
Yes. Yeah. But speaking of that, and I don't mean to digress here, but on Friday, a week ago Friday, was it a week ago Friday we had the food drive?
Wow. Yes.
We raised or gathered 87,000 pounds of food for the homeless. So we'd like to thank everybody that was involved. Paul Majors, Glenn Walker over there on Channel 2 and Channel 9. Of course, Arsenio Hall that came by.
You go, dog.
John and Jeff. Frank Kramer stayed all night. Yep. Even though
Frank Kramer here.
Okay, Leo.
Major stud. Leo. All the guys from the Aris and the Street Squad. Mike Nelson, who does publicity over at KCAL. And also on ABC, I'm sorry, CBS over there. But he does a great job. Also, Mike Nelson did a great job. I mean, and Mike Olson as well. But all those guys did a fantastic job. 87,000 pounds of food went to the LA Food Bank. So we're hats off to everybody.
And Shotgun Tom Kelly, speaking of
hats. Oh, yes, Shotgun, man. How can I forget that, dude?
Yeah.
All right. So with anything else going on in the news there, Gina?
That's what's going on.
All right. The news with Gina Grad, everybody.
The news with Gina Grad.
You know, say what you will about Michael Bolton, the man can write a song.
Give us 8.5 minutes, and we'll fill it with words.
All right, Gino, man. All right, Dr. Reef is with us again. He is a psychiatrist dealing in addiction medicine, whether it's sex, drugs, or relationships. And we'll talk more about kids swearing as well, because I think that's sort of an interesting area that kid, you know, parents let their kids swear. Yeah. I'm not letting my kid, you know, smoke or drink, but if she uses the F word every once in a while, what am I going to do? All right, here are the phone numbers, 520-9710. There's a lot of people out there very worried about their jobs, worried about their 401ks, their houses going in the toilet value-wise. And the economy is in the toilet, and it's really getting scary out there, especially come holidays. People are thinking, I'm not going to spend as much this year as I did last year, and they feel bad about it and guilty about it. Dr. Reef can help you out with all of those problems. He is terrific at what he does. 520-9710 and 888-520-9710. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show. Gina Grad joins us, and Dr. Reef, and we're live on 97.1 FM Talk.
It was a rough year with bad publicity and no more blonde hair, too much time at Chuck E. Cheese, no more Bob royalty. There's no escape from this bad tape. I'm a celebutard, I need a fresh start. That deadbeat husband, he's so last season. I'll drop the belly 'cause I'm giving up here.
Well, you're stud. You got a big wiener there, man.
On 97.1 FM Talk.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live on 97.1 FM Talk. And Gina Grad is with us. Always nice to see you, Gina.
Thank you.
And also, Dr. Reef, man.
Yes.
Look at that. Woo. Addiction medicine specialist. Also deals with sex, drugs, and relationships. So if you have any one of those three going on in your life, and chances are you do, and you got a problem with it, Dr. Reef might have the answer for you. Here are the phone numbers, 520-9710 and 888-520-9710.
And maybe now, if you say that your sex, drugs, and relationships are all coinciding in perfect harmony, maybe you could call in about how you're a compulsive liar.
Wow.
Now, Dr. Reef, I know that Dr. Drew, one of your colleagues, says that a healthy relationship could never withstand, especially a marriage, could never withstand a threesome.
Don't be
Do you agree with him?
Wow. I think it depends. Is the couple married?
Yes.
I think once you're married, it's much tougher. Before you get married, I've had lots and lots of couples that they had threesomes, they kind of did the wilder stuff, but they viewed the marriage, the consummating the marriage as the next phase in their relationship where it wasn't all fun and games anymore.
Right.
And they were able to sustain it and they did crazy stuff before they got married. I've had other couples where they've had threesomes and for a few of them it's worked. Quite a few of them got divorced, but the ones where it's worked, the woman has literally taken on the role of the director. She's like, I'm directing this whole thing. I'm orchestrating the wife. I'm orchestrating this whole thing. And they've been able to make it work. So I think that all relationships are different. And I think that not all relationships are healthy, but they work. There's a lot of pathologic, I'm a relationship expert too. There's a lot of pathologic relationships that work. And some of those might have threesomes and all sorts of other deviant sexual acts, but it works for the couple.
Well, and don't you think the reason why the woman kind of orchestrates it, because at that point, the man's just happy to be there. He's just happy to be in the room. So if it's going to go any further, the woman really has to call the shots.
Well, it's about the threat. If
right.
you've got two women and a guy, who's threatening the guy?
Right.
The guy's like,
right.
This is awesome. I'm having, he's just digging it. Whereas the biggest threat is not the other woman. The other woman's like, okay, I don't even know these guys, but I'm having a good time. The wife is the one who's going to be threatened.
Right.
So she's got to be the controller and she's got to be the one in charge so that she doesn't feel threatened and everybody seems okay.
Right.
And what about people or married couples that have open relationships? Does that work?
I think that's much tougher.
Is that right?
Yeah, I think you can survive the threesome thing and the communication with that. But if you're like a swinging couple and you guys are swingers, at some point you're either going to not value your significant other, or you're just not going to trust that person. Or unfortunately, I don't think we can completely 100% block out sex and sexual activity and seeing our significant other with somebody else in front of us or knowing what they're doing, all
right.
of that with, full on trust and caring and nurturing and the mother of my child and the giving and all that other stuff that goes along with it.
Right. Now, can you ever get trust back once you lose it?
Once you've lost trust, it depends on the circumstances, I think. I think if somebody, did something really crazy and it seemed like they were under the influence of something, let's say they were an alcoholic, they relapsed once, had a bad time, and then got sober again, I think, as long as they don't keep relapsing, that's something that you can forgive. If somebody actively did something that was just ridiculous, they knew exactly what they were doing, you can try to get past it. Most of the time, relationships don't work.
And I think one of the reasons they don't work is because the people, the other person will bring it up. Even 5-6 years down the road,
how do you forget?
They don't forget.
Yeah.
How do you forget it? And the problem is, it sticks in your soul, like with this insecurity sticks in there. So anytime you're feeling a little insecure towards your significant other for whatever reason, the guy's going to the sports bar to watch a game. All of a sudden, wait, that bartender's there, right? That bartender that you knew in 1984, remember that one?
Is that right?
I mean, just any kind of insecurity.
Which bar are you talking about?
Yeah, you've been there. It can creep up. That's the problem. The problem is, how do you have a totally stable relationship, a stable, secure relationship when there's that distrust rooted in?
But see, I never think about that. For instance, like when my wife goes out either with her friends or, to her workout class or whether she just goes out anywhere, I never think, even for a second, oh, I wonder if some guy's going to be there. You know, I wonder, you know, she's going to meet some dude.
But do you have an open swinging relationship?
No.
That's what I'm, but I'm talking about an open swinging relationship.
Oh, I see.
I'm talking about a relationship where, like you said earlier, like somebody that they just run around and go do their own thing independently.
Right.
You know, they're not having sex as a couple. They're just going out and getting theirs.
Oh, I see. All right.
You know, and in that relationship, how do you get over the trust? Or if somebody cheats on somebody else and you can't get, a lot of people can't get over that.
Yeah, that is a weird thing. The cheating thing is the real deal breaker there. I know that a lot of people, you know, once they do catch the other person cheating, there's no way to repair that relationship. And I think that the person cheated and the person who cheats and gets caught, like either in their bed or in their car or whatever by the other chick, I think they do that on purpose to hurt the other person. Because who the hell gets caught cheating?
Yeah.
I mean, in the act of it, unless you want to get caught.
Well, don't you think it's usually the retaliator that gets caught? Like, I'll show him. He'll come home from work and he'll see what's going on in his room.
You know, I also have another theory.
Is he back yet? Is he home yet? Okay, wait. Don't do anything
well,
yet.
Keep
okay,
going.
He's in the driveway.
Take
Let's go.
Take a bag. Right? Yeah. I don't care.
Yeah.
Keep
going. About the guy that, you know, flies in the closet. But I also have a theory that if a guy or a girl, they break up, if a guy breaks up with his wife or a wife breaks up with the husband, between Thanksgiving and Christmas, that's a big F you.
Yeah.
You know, that's a big guy. I can't stand you so much that I can't even spend the next 2 or 3 weeks and try to lie about this.
Yeah.
And then you're gone.
Well, and I've noticed with my friends, most of my friends find their boyfriends around the holidays.
Is that right?
Oh, absolutely. Actually, I take that back. They find them in fall, so they're locked in for the holidays.
Oh, yeah.
You don't want to be on your second date Christmas Eve. So you start shopping around September, you know, beginning of October, and
Jesus Christ, you got a
man for New Year's.
All right, Dr. Reef is with us. He is a specialist when it comes to sex, drugs, and relationships. Also an addiction medicine specialist as well. 520-9710 and 888-520-9710. Mike in Woodland Hills, you're on 97.1 FM Talk. How are you?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey.
What's up, Mike?
Good. So your name is Dr. Reef?
Yes.
Yeah,
and you're an addiction specialist?
Yes.
Yep.
That's awesome.
Probably not the first one to point out that simple irony, but go ahead.
Mike, that got me through all of college that day.
Oh, man, that's the best. Well, I have a question for you, quick to the point.
All right.
I'm married to a psycho. And we're going through a divorce, so I'm soon not going to be married to a psycho. And I am one of those people that divorcing her or leaving on between Thanksgiving and Christmas because it is absolutely, like Tim totally nailed it on the head when he said, you know, I cannot stand to be around you for the next 2 or 3 weeks.
Right.
You know,
how long have you been married?
6.5 years, 7 years almost.
How many kids do you have?
Two
kids. How old?
Yeah, two kids, 5 and 3. But
did you know, Mike? Did you know that she was a psycho going into this? Like, is this just a new psycho appearance that's been present, or
what
has this been going on
her,
the whole time?
I'm telling you, when we were dating, it was awesome. When we were engaged, phenomenal. She was outstanding. She was the girl in my dreams. I couldn't believe I got her. I'm from Canada. I lived in Canada, and I got this Southern California chick, and I was just like, oh, man, just outstanding. And the first time that it clued in where I was like, okay, is she bipolar or not, or what's going on, is when we went to Hawaii for our honeymoon. We come back home. We got in a huge fight in our honeymoon, okay? Forgave that.
Jesus Christ.
That's huge.
What was the fight about?
The fight was that we weren't having enough sex.
On your honeymoon?
On my honeymoon.
Right.
I'd already banged her three times.
She was telling you weren't having enough sex with her.
Yeah, she was telling me. She was telling me. And I'm like, holy crap, like, how much do you want? Like, I just would like to just settle down here. We've just gone through a flight, and we just got here, you know, like, and of course, like, most guys want to go at it all the time. Of course, I was no different, but it was the second night there, and we didn't talk for 2 days on our honeymoon. That was the first clue.
Oh,
that was the first clue. We get home, come back, and some other huge fight, which I can't even remember, we were driving around. She throws the sleeping bag at me down on at her parents' house. I was outside, not coming back in. We were visiting her parents when we got back. And she says, you can go back to bleeping Canada for all I care. I don't give a bleep about you. I hate your bleeping guts. And proceeds to just fill my ear with all this stuff. And then walks away and throws me the sleeping bag and says, as far as for me, you know, this is over. This is done.
Wow.
That was 3 weeks into it.
And this never, ever, 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 ever once showed its ugly head when you were dating.
I can surely say that it never did. I didn't see that.
Little buyer's remorse.
Yeah, she nailed you pretty good. Hey, are you from Toronto by chance?
No, out west.
Vancouver, right. Calgary.
Calgary, yeah.
All right, so what does this guy do, Doc?
Yeah, been to the Stampede, by the way. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's awesome. I love it. It's amazing.
So, yeah, why do you think she's bipolar? Do you think it's specifically bipolar? Or is she just acting strange and you can't place it?
It's that she flips a switch. Like, okay, this week, all right, like... I'm one of those guys that definitely, it got worse from what I just said. So I was actually looking to get out of it like 2.5 years into it. I couldn't take it anymore. And, I was unfaithful and I wanted her to find out that I was unfaithful. And, she found some emails and I just copped up to it. And I said, yeah, I didn't have the balls to get out properly. I was a wimp. You know, I really didn't.
But that was 2.5 years ago, but you're still in it.
No, that was 2.5 years into the marriage.
And then we were separated
for 8 months. We already filed for divorce 4 years into it. We were separated. I was a total dork and got back into it, went back to her because I had kids now. I didn't want the kids to grow up without a father.
Right.
And so I went back. And I'm telling you, man, it was the worst mistake of my life because, you know, financially everything got better. You know, everything, my business is going great. At the time, it was just what it was. It was just the basic monthly stuff, and I could handle it. Now,
right.
I'm going to be pooched up the yin-yang.
Yeah, dude, you got screwed. What kind of business are you in?
Construction.
Oh, great time to be in construction.
Yeah, but I'm doing good. So I got good contracts. And
All right. Hold on 1 second. Mike, so Dr. Reef, what do you think this guy should
do? Yeah, so, I mean, relationships are about your mental and physical health as well as everything else. I mean, if a relationship is completely to your detriment, I feel bad for him because I'm really shocked he didn't see this coming.
Right.
You know, for this to be like, oh, wow, she's great. She's wonderful.
He's Canadian.
Yeah, what do you know?
he has a long fuse.
Yeah, these guys forgive a lot.
Yeah, they forgive a lot. But I feel bad for the guy because all this stuff happened when they got married. But for him, you know, I think marriage, you should try everything you possibly can to stay in a marriage because you did it, man. You have two kids. You're in it. He's totally in the game. He's in it. He's got to do what he's got to do. But if it's really to the detriment of your health, then I just think he should, you know, take care of the kids, say goodbye, and, you know, do his thing.
Hey, Mike?
Yeah.
How is your health?
How is my health?
Yeah.
You know, right now I'm losing weight for no reason whatsoever.
Stressed.
I'm stressed all the time. I can't eat. You know, I can't. Like, physically, I've never been this way, you know. I mean, I'm a healthy guy normally, but that's it. That's the only thing I can think of. But I've picked up smoking.
Hey, dude, if you're not eating, can you send me the stuff that's in your fridge?
Randy, please!
Well, he's not eating, Andy. I don't want it to go to waste.
God,
he's not
going
to eat. He's stressed out.
The only thing he picks up on is a food.
I'm hungry.
Hey, Mike, you know, and Dr. Reef, you can confirm this, but I've heard... if you're in an unhealthy relationship, that you can't possibly be healthy physically. Is that right?
Yeah, well, if you're not healthy mentally, eventually it leaks into your physical health.
Because you're not happy, right? And doesn't that change your body chemistry?
When you're depressed, you have problems with your appetite, you have problems with your sleep, you have problems with your memory. You have all sorts of problems that eventually will leak into your physical health and the way you exercise or not exercise and you become sedentary and there's all sorts of bad things
that
go along with it.
I nailed every one of those.
Yeah, you're good.
But, and also the, you know, the anger comes up, but again, and I've talked to you about this before, every guy I know is pissed off. And if the guy's not pissed off, I think he's a lunatic. You know,
he's just not paying attention.
Right, exactly. All right, we got to take a break. Mike, we thank you for the phone call. More of your phone calls with Dr. Reef, everybody. Again, he deals in sex, drugs, and relationships, an addiction medicine specialist. Gina Grad joins us as well. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live on 97.1 FM Talk.
Talk.
Get complete shows from Adam Carolla, Frosty, Heidi, and Frank, Danny Bonaducci, Tom Likas, and more. Just go to 971fmtalk.com and subscribe with iTunes.